Find them. I do ask for your continued prayers as I stand before you this afternoon. I thank the Lord for the sweet prayer Brother Bobby has offered. I thank the Lord for him and his sweet, the blessings the Lord has done for him in his life. And I also thankful for our fellowship in the Lord with each and every one of you here. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this afternoon from the 27th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I'll probably read the entirety of the chapter. Of course, it contains there's 44 verses, and so we won't make an effort to speak from each one of them individually, but just wanted to present this part of this scripture in your hearing this afternoon. It's about Paul when he suffered shipwreck. And this is the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts, chapter 27. We'll begin reading right at verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia. One Aristarchus and of Macedonian of Thessalonica being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, and the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps and undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of this foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And when the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. And there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat, and were on all in the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And I know that's a lot of reading, but isn't that a wonderful account of the providential care of Almighty God that occurred not only to the Apostle Paul, but had effect on all of those that were in this ship. Sometimes I thought of the ship as not having very many people in it. You know, as I've thought of this passage before, I know I've read it before many times. But the verse 37 tells us, "And we were all in the ship 216 souls." That's 260 plus 16, 276 people on this ship. Had to be a pretty good-sized ship in order to contain that many people. And all that was taking place here was done by the providence and the work of Almighty God. You see, it was important that the Apostle Paul would get to Rome. It was important that he would testify of the grace of God that appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and that he would declare unto those Jews in Rome the wonderful truths of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you go ahead and read Acts 28, you'll see that as the Apostle Paul landed on this island, it was an island of barbarous people, barbarians. That didn't mean they were wild and unruly people. They seemed to be real gentle kind of people, because they took care of the Apostle Paul and all 276 of these men. Not one of them lost their life. And all that took place, just think of what that would have been if it was left up to man, and it was without God and without the purpose of God. What would the likelihood of a tragic accident that took place out here in the sea be, that all the people would be spared? You know, the ones who could swim, swam. And the ones who couldn't swim, well, the boat broke up and they had pieces of wood and things to be able to carry them in to where they all got safely on shore. And the Apostle Paul even told them that was going to be the case. Some of the verses that kind of stick out in this passage that I wanted to share with you, the Lord being with us this afternoon, it says, in this dark time, it says, and on the third, verse 19, it says, on the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now, when we think of why the Apostle Paul was there, he wasn't there because he decided to take a cruise. He wasn't there because he had decided to be on a vacation and this event occurred or something like that. The Apostle Paul was really under arrest. He was under the he was a prisoner under the care and keeping of a centurion. And this centurion had also, the 276 contained the Apostle Paul, and it also contained Luke, who is the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. And we have that account. When you read about the we in verse 1, it says we should sail unto Italy. And we have another brother here by the name, I have a hard time pronouncing his name, but you'll find it a couple other places in Scripture. He was a yoke fellow with the Apostle Paul, Aristarchus. Hope none of us name our children that name, but it's a good name. Aristarchus, it was a name of one of the brethren that was along with the Apostle Paul. And the Lord took care of this ship because he had some people on it. Now, we know he had those. We don't know who else might have been his children on this ship. We don't know who. We don't know about the centurion. We don't know about the prisoners. But we do know this. God will take care of his people. And here the Apostle Paul was being taken, not because he'd done anything wrong. He had simply preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when he had done that, the Jews became angry with him and upset with him. And they brought him to the rulers of Judea. And there the rulers of Judea had found no fault with him. And yet the people wanted him, they wanted his very life. And because of that, the Apostle Paul had pleaded that he might be, and had petitioned that he might be heard before Caesar, that he might go to Rome in order to be heard, that his testimony might be heard in Rome, because he knew he had not done anything that had been brought against him. And so he was trusting in the Lord, and the Lord had brought him to this place, and all of this was by the work and the hand of the Lord. Except the Lord had also told him he said, sirs, in verse 10, he said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. The Apostle Paul said, the Lord has told me that this is going to be trouble. You know, I don't believe that the Lord speaks to us as he did the apostles in that day in the exact same way. But I absolutely believe the Lord leads and guides his little children today as they live here in this world. I believe that as you and I face life and its troubles and its problems, that we can call on the same Lord that talked to the Apostle Paul in this way. And the reason I say it, you see, the Apostle Paul was an apostle. And remember, there were signs that were going to follow the apostles. That when they went preaching, we would know what they were preaching was the truth because of the signs that followed them. Some of those signs were signs of prophecy, the signs of the gift of tongues, the signs of healing. The Apostle Paul had the ability at this time to lay his hands on those that were sick. And when it was God's will for them to be healed, those that he laid his hands on were healed. When he went to this island and ended up stranded on this island or was there, the people that he was there, there were many of them that were sick that came to the Apostle Paul. And he laid hands on them and they all were healed. They brought. He also, remember when he was there by the fire and he was warming him, the fire that was made for them. And he gathered sticks and put them into the fire. And as he did that, a viper came out of the fire and wrapped around the Apostle Paul. And yet it didn't bite him, or the bite didn't hurt him. I don't believe it bit him. But nonetheless, when they saw the viper on his arm, those people said, well, he must be a bad man in order for this to happen. And the vengeance has followed him. And now he's going to suffer as a result of what he has done being a prisoner. But remember that nothing happened to him. And when nothing happened to him, they just turned the other way and said, well, he must be a god. You know, men have all kinds of explanations for things that happen. There are many men that look at things and say, well, that's just luck. Sometimes we hear the word karma. Somebody will say, you know, that's just karma. Because, you know, karma comes back. If you do good, then this good is going to come back to you. And that's just karma. Let me tell you, there's all superstition is superstition. Whether we're talking about vengeance or karma or whatever we're talking about, let us understand everything in our life is controlled in the sense that God is in control of all the events and occurrences in our life. I'm not saying by that He causes all things to be. I would never charge God with sin or say that God is responsible for bringing about sin in that way. But I'm telling you, God suffers things to be, and God is in control, and you and I can look to the Lord and be thankful that we have His... We long to be recipients of His grace. We need His grace. And here the Apostle Paul, he said, the Lord had shown him, he said, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, and not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. And nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, why was what Paul said important? Because the Lord had spoken to Paul and told Paul the things that were the truth that they needed to know. Today, much of what we read in our Bibles in the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. Some would say, well, I'm not a follower of Paul, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the reality is that the words that were given by Paul, that Paul penned down by inspiration of God, was given to him by Christ. And Paul didn't say, follow me in any respect other than as I follow Christ, you're to follow me. And as Paul wrote these things down, he was moved of the Holy Spirit to write them and pen them down. And so what should we heed? We should heed the words of Paul. Which words? The words that were given to him by Almighty God. And when we fail to heed them, we will do it to our own detriment, just like these individuals did to their own detriment. And we see their attempts. And the way looked good when they started. You know, it seemed like, well, we made a good plan. They said, we're not going to go this way, we're going to go the way we think. And it seemed like a good plan. But how did it end up? Well, it ended up just like the Apostle Paul said. You know why? Because the Apostle Paul had been given that information by Almighty God. And he shared it with them. And it also caused them to recognize that what he says has a whole lot more value. I'm telling you, when you've gone along in God's Word and you've heard what it says, and then we cease to follow it and cease to heed it, it'll cause you to regret that I didn't follow what He said to begin with, that I didn't do what He told me the first time. Now, what can we do about that? Not a thing. Other than say, God, forgive me, and God, help me when I come to the next situation, that I'll heed and follow what Thou hast told me to do. He goes on and says, And the third day we cast out our own hands and the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars and many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And sometimes this seems like the verse of my life. In other words, when I look at my life and the circumstances I'm in, have you ever had one of those days when the sun nor the stars in many days appeared? It seemed like every day is trouble, and it's like you're in the midst of the cloud. And this is the Apostle Paul writing, or Luke writing this and pinning this down, even though they knew the hand of God was with them and the Lord was going to take care of them. There's sometimes God's little children get in this place. And it says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, which means it wasn't a little thing we were going through, but this is a heavy weight. Been there? Maybe in that right now. I know that many of God's children are, and I know as sure as we live, there are going to be times we're like that. He says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this, and to have gained this harm and loss. So why were they going through this harm and through this loss? It's because they hadn't paid attention. You know, a lot of times in our life we wonder, how did I get in this trouble? Well, it is hard to understand how we get into things. It's because we fail to do what the Lord has taught us to do. Sometimes circumstances come upon us because it's God's will that we go through a trial and a tribulation. But many times those tribulations come upon us because of something we have done contrary to what the Lord would have us to do. But either way, I'm telling you, there's only one answer. That hope is not in us. It's in looking to the Lord of glory, who is a God of grace and who is a God of mercy. And he said, and listen to this, here he is on this boat. Now, they've gone through a whole lot. They've done everything. They tried to get everything straight. Here the Apostle Paul said, you've gained this harm and loss. And he says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Well, they probably looked at the Apostle Paul and said, this man's crazy. What's he talking about? Today, I'm standing before you and tell you, be of good cheer. There's a reason you and I can be of good cheer. Why? Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The Apostle Paul said, be of good cheer. You know why? He said, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. Now, that wouldn't mean anything if Paul just said it of his own, but Paul didn't just say that of his own. Just like what he had said earlier wasn't of his own. Listen to what he says. He says, but of the ship, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. If we can understand right now with every one of us, right by us, right in every day of our life, you know, the Lord takes care of His people. Be not afraid, whatever betide, one of Him says, God will take care of you. I'm telling you that God's little children are never outside of His watch care, never outside of His keeping. No matter what trouble. You say, but I've been in the sun. There's been no sunshine, no stars in my life for many days. And no small trouble, tempest, it lays on me. And all hope it seems to be gone. Let me say to you, there's a reason to be of good cheer. The Apostle Paul said to them on that ship, you be of good cheer. Why? Because God has said, there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now you as God's little children, there's something we can say to you from the Word of God. Listen, one day we're all going to get home to glory. One day we're all going to arrive on the shore. One day all of us, without the loss of one, are going to be with the Lord in heaven. And whatever storm or trouble we're going through right now, it's just for the moment. In the long run, not one single life of one of God's little children will ever be lost. In this case, he was talking to those on that ship, and it came true. But I'm telling you, it's just as true when the Lord says that to each and every one of His children. The foundation of God standeth sure, having what? This seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him which has sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that He hath given me, what's he going to lose? He said, I'll lose nothing. You know how many was lost on this out of that 276? Not a single one. You know how many of God's little children are going to be lost eternally and not with Him? You know how many Jesus died for, that entire elect family of God? He paid the sin debt for, and every one of them, without the loss of one, will be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. And if all we had to go through here in this time world was trouble and heartache and problems, just one day to be with the Lord. The hymn writer also said, and I'm not getting all the words of that hymn, but he said, the toils of the road will be seen as nothing when I get home to be with the Lord. So whatever you're going through right now, dear brother, dear sister, as you go through the problems and the trials and the troubles of life, one day in the presence of the Lord, one moment, the very sight of His face, which is promised to you, the troubles of this world will be reckoned as nothing compared to the glories that we'll enjoy in heaven. And that's not only the good news that the same God who's promised, made that promise to you, has promised you that every day of your life will be filled with His goodness and His mercy and His grace. He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. Somebody might say, well, I don't deserve that. Right, you don't. Neither do I. It's not based on what we deserve. It's not based on what we've earned. It's not based on what we gain. It's based on His grace and His grace alone. That's what they deserve being delivered. Even the Apostle Paul, did he deserve being delivered? Remember, the Apostle Paul, before he became a preacher of the gospel, was a persecutor of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't love the name of Christ. He hated the name and did everything he could to bring to stop the very name of Jesus, and to even have the children of God who preached and taught His name in prison, and he did all that he could to harm the name of the Lord. But God's grace appeared to the Apostle Paul as a persecuting Saul, and He made him a preacher of the gospel and a lover of the truth, and one who stood here on this ship, and He exhorted them to be a good cheer. He said, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And there stood by me this night the angel of God. He says, whose I am and whom I serve. Now listen, the angel Paul didn't belong to the angel. He belonged to the Lord who sent the angel. And you know, God has His angels. And He sends them here into this world. And they come and take care of God's little children. None of us know how many times we may have been delivered. Even as an angel may be sent from Almighty God to deliver, God's angels encampeth round about them that fear Him. The angel of the Lord. And I'm telling you, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But there's also those created angels who keep an eye on God's little children and are sent by Almighty God to do what He would have them to do to help them along the way. That's why we're to be of good cheer. He says, for the angel of the Lord, he said, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. Listen, you belong to the Lord. The Lord owns us. We should serve Him because we are His servants. We belong to Him. He bought us. He paid for us. He loved us in covenant before the foundation of the world. We belong to Him. And He says, whose I am and whom I serve. The Apostle Paul had committed his life to the service of God. That's why he was in this trouble. And be sure of this. As sure as you desire to serve the Lord, you're going to have some trouble and some adversity in this world. But you be of good cheer because you belong to the Lord and you're committed to serve the Lord. And God will take care of His children, especially of those who commit their life to the service of the Lord, that they're going to live the best they can to follow Him. And it's not because of that, it is His work in us that causes us to have that desire even to serve Him. So all the glory and all the honor and praise belongs to the Lord. He says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Oh, if we could just grab that verse and hold on to it. Why should I be a good cheer? Why, when we talk to one another, when we're at that place where, verse 20, where neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And notice he said, the angel, when he appeared to the Apostle Paul, what did he say to Paul? He said, fear not. I wonder why he said that. Because Paul was afraid. Somebody say, you think Paul got afraid? Well, the angel told Paul to fear not. He wouldn't have told him to fear not if he wasn't afraid. Listen, God's little children, get afraid. You might be afraid right now, but I'm saying to you, the angel of the Lord speaks to us and he says, fear not. Why? He says, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. In other words, God says, I got a plan for you. I have this in control. I have all of this under control. He says, thou must be brought before Caesar. Why? It was God's will that he be brought before Caesar. And I'm saying when God says thou must be brought before Caesar, I believe he's going to be brought before Caesar. I believe that's what God would have happen. He says, and thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. In other words, God said, not only that, all of them are going to be okay. Now, why would God tell the Apostle Paul that? Because maybe because we could come here tonight, or this afternoon and talk about this with God's little children who might at some time start questioning, is the Lord still in control? Is the Lord still on His throne? Does the Lord have anything to do with my life? See, just because you've been on a ship and in a shipwreck doesn't mean God's hand is outside of all that. God is still in control, and God is still working in our lives, and He sends us that which we need, even this message recorded in God's Word. And He says, wherefore, sirs, be a good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. When we read God's Word, we can say, I believe God, and I believe it's going to be just like He told me. And we take the Word of God, build our lives upon it, count on it, believe it. And He says, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. He said, because of what the Lord says, this is going to happen. And when the 14th night was come, and we were driven up and down in the Adria is the Adriatic Sea, and he says, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. In other words, it says, when the 14th night was come, it didn't happen right away. You know, I think the Apostle Paul, you know, if it'd be me, I'd be saying, okay, Lord, this is what you said, but it's been 14 days, you know, and we're still in the sea. We're still battling away. Nobody's eating. Everybody's just trying to keep the boat afloat. And it doesn't seem to be. And then about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. What they did when it sounded is they let the rope out to see how deep it was to the shore, because that would tell them how far away from land they were. And they saw it was about 20 fathoms. And they went a little further and they found that it was 15 fathoms. And so it looks like we're getting close to land. And then fearing lest they're going to be, you know, it wasn't just good that you got to land, because your ship could get destroyed when it goes in on land. We have to be operating here by faith, don't we? Is that good news that we're close to land? Well, that all depends on how you're looking at it. If you have faith and believe that God said we're all going to get on the shore, that sounds like good news. But if you don't have faith, it sounds like we're all about to lose our life. And it says, and it sounded and found it was 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Oh boy, that's trouble, isn't it? You're in the middle of the storm. We're going to drop our anchors and just hope the day shows. Hope we see some daylight. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, the men who were driving the ship had pulled in a little boat into the ship. We read about that. And now they were letting that boat out because they were getting out of there. In other words, they were saying, there's nothing good going to come out of this ship. So we're leaving. And so we're taking the boat we put into the ship and we're putting it out on the outside of the ship. It was on the outside of the ship, and then they worked to get it back in the ship because they were afraid it was going to destroy the ship with all the storm. So they're now letting it out, and they under color. It says, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, they're acting like we're going to put some more anchors out. In reality, what they were doing is we're taking off. And the Apostle Paul then says, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. In other words, if they go get in that boat, that's going to be it for them. And the Lord used all of that to do exactly what He said He would do. And every one of them were safely delivered to the shore in spite of themselves. In spite of themselves. And then the soldiers cut off, and they believed the Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul had told them one time what to do, and they didn't do it. This time they listened. And then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off before the shipmen could get in it. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from your head, from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Now think about this right there on the ship. It hadn't got to the shore. They're not safe yet. All they could see, only thing they could really be happy about is the promise of Almighty God. It doesn't look like anything's changed. And yet here on that ship, they hadn't eaten. He says, let's eat. And there on the ship, in the midst of that storm, in the midst of the trials, that little band broke bread together and rejoiced. It says, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. Can you be good in good cheer when you've been on a ship that is about to... When we're in the trouble we're in, can we be of good cheer? When you're in the problems of this life, can you be of good cheer? Absolutely. When? When you're trusting God. When you're resting in His Word. You can. The here they were eating. You and I can eat of the spiritual food and the spiritual nourishment of the Lord. And they were all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. That means that was a whole lot of people to feed. And then when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. In other words, that was their meal. And the rest of it, everything's overboard. You know why? Because they weren't going to need that ship that long. You know, we're not going to need that life this long. So we talked about how long we're going to need what we need. Well, it's good for today. But the things that we need today, when we are home with the Lord, we won't need them anymore. We just need a sufficiency for the day that we're in. And you know what God's promise is? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He will supply that which we... If we seek first, as He says, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. That is the natural things that we need in our life. And He says, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made it toward shore. And falling into place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. So the front part got stuck, like in a sandbar. You know, they're not in land because they do swim, but the ship is stuck. It's grounded. It's not moving. Wonder how that got there. Wonder how that just happened to be. Wonder how all those things just happened to occur. Was that karma? Was that vengeance? No, I'll tell you what it was. It's the mighty hand of God. And I'm telling you, in our lives, sometimes we think it's just happened to be. Just remember, we're not alone in this world. We belong to Him. We are His child. He will take care of us. He is moving in the events of our life. And here, and the back end of the ship, the hinder part, was broken with the violence of the waves. Somebody said, what a tragic thing that the back end of the ship was broken up. Listen, they needed the back end of the ship. Why? Because some of them couldn't swim. Who knew that? I'll tell you who does that. Only one can do that. And that's the Lord. And falling into a place where it goes on in the soldiers' council. Now get this. Now, what the soldiers had been told and what they were saying was, we're going to kill all the prisoners. In other words, even after what had happened with the Apostle Paul and everything they'd gone, their plan was, when all of this happened, is that rather than having the prisoners escape, which would mean their lives if they got away, he said, rather than have the prisoners escape, the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion willing to save Paul. Do you think a believer has an impact on those that he's around? Does one who's trusting God have an impact on his family? Does one who's trusting God have an impact on his job? Does one who's trusting God have an impact on the community they live in? We don't know what impact the Lord brings about as a result of one of His little children doing what He would command him to do and what He's taught him to do. And the Apostle Paul, he said, the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose and commanded that they that could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get the land. In other words, you that can swim, get the land. And then he said, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. Sometimes you have something tore up in your life and you wonder, why did that get tore up? You might need to swim. You might, maybe you can't swim. You might need something to float on. You might, you know, we don't know how God's working in our lives. Isn't it good to know we don't have to know? Our Heavenly Father knows. You know, somebody said, when the Lord closes one door, He'll open up a door, or maybe a window. He'll give you another way. He will lead us, and He will direct us. And He says, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And I tell you, when I just read this and looking at it, you just see the providential hand of God. And when I see that in the life of the Apostle Paul, then I look at my own life and I can see the handprints of God all over my life. How He has worked in my life. I see Him working in our lives. And brethren, let us encourage one another that we can just trust in this God, who is the God who is our God, the God who has saved us and the God who will keep us and will not lose one of us. And we can encourage one another, just trust and obey. Just look to the Lord. Lean upon the Lord. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And may the Lord just bless us to be able to do that better and better. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Let's just stay, you know. That might be a piece of the ship.